And turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. In this chapter, I guess we could basically sum it up by saying that we've been learning as Christians, members of the Lord's church, it's only true members of the Lord's church are saved members. You might be have your name on church roll, but that doesn't make you a member. You must be saved. And as far as we as men can determine, based on your profession, we baptize you into the membership of this church. We've been learning how to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, the calling wherewith we've been called. In lowliness and humility, in meekness, in long-suffering, forbearing, and working feverishly for the unity of the Spirit in this body, the Grace Baptist Church, Melbourne, Florida. The Holy Spirit unleading disunity. So if we have disunity in the church, it's because we've got someone or both parties or many parties walking out of step with the church or with one another. And so we've been learning how to do that. And he came to verse 17 and he said, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you've been called is not to live after the manner of the unsaved. Not to live after the manner of what you were before you were saved. And members of the Lord's church, who they, being unsaved, their understanding is darkened, and that's the way they walk, in darkness. They walk in, they're void of any truth of the things of God, and they're past feeling. They can't feel it. They have a heart that is callous, a heart that is dull to that way of life. And we're not to be like them, he said. And then he goes on to say that we, therefore, in our behavior, we are not to behave as the old man behaved, but that is to be put off, and we're to put on a new man, which is created after God in righteousness and true holiness. And wherefore, putting away lying. You see, that's a work, a trait of the old man, of the unsaved. It ought not to be a trait, it ought not to be a part of the new man. So we're to put away lying, we're to speak truth. Now, the truth, speaking truth is, you would expect, of the new man, not of the old man. And he said, furthermore, he said, be angry, but not unto sin. You see, the old man, we discussed that at quite length. The old man, he gets angry, but his anger is in sin. His anger is not against sin. His anger is in sin. It causes him to sin and do things he hadn't ought to do.
He says to
get angry with sin, and don't sin. And he said, so that you don't sin, don't let the sun go down on you, don't let it come to roost and stay for any length of time. You get rid of it as soon as possible.
ASAP, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Because if you let it come to roost and you let it brood and you let the sun go down on your wrath, then you're giving place to Satan.
You're giving room for Satan to work. And we don't want that. We don't want that in the body of Christ. In his church at 620 Palmetto Avenue, Melbourne, Florida. You see.
Well, he goes on today. We're ready for verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands that thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let him that stole steal no more. It was a manner of a past life. And if it's a matter of your present life, steal no more. Stealing. Why hadn't we ought to steal? Well, for the same reason we hadn't ought to lie. For the same reason we hadn't ought to get angry and sin. Because it's a trait of the old man. It's against humanity. And if it's against humanity, it's against God. I don't think I need to take you to the Ten Commandments, do I, in Exodus chapter 20, to show you that? You see, anything that we do against humanity of a sinful nature is against God. The same God that taught us to love him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, taught us to love our neighbor as ourself. And so, well, not to steal. We're not to be as the unsaved. We're to be a new man.
Amen.
If before we were saved, we were a thief, at the time of salvation, we ought to stop it. And let me even go a step further. If we were a thief before we were saved, and then we're saved, we don't need any man to tell us to stop stealing. That's something God puts in your heart. I've known alcoholics, and I've known thieves. And you know what? When God saves them, no one has to tell them.
It's a law now that is written in their heart. It's written there by God. Furthermore, it was written there by God at the time they were created. That's Romans chapter 2 tells us that. It's written on their hearts. The law of God is written on their hearts. So, if we weren't thieves before salvation, well, then we're not to start being a thief either. I know some things look very tempting. And maybe you don't have the money right now. But if God wants you to have it, won't he make a way for you to have it? Won't he make the means possible that are necessary to have it? He sure will. So, the thief at salvation stops being a thief, and the Christian should never start being a thief. Don't even be tempted with that. Turn with me to the book of Zechariah, a couple passages I just want to look at before we go on. But Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 5. In verse 3, then said he unto me, this is the curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For every one that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it. And every one that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side, according to it. Notice, everyone that stealeth shall be cut off. It's not a trait of a Christian. It's not a trait of a child of God. Now, with that in mind, turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 23, Deuteronomy 23, and look with me here at verse 24. And he defines, shall we say, for the children of Israel, he defines in their days, for them, what stealing is. What they're allowed, which is not stealing, and what they're not allowed, which would be stealing then. In verse 24, when thou comest into thy neighbor's vineyard, then thou mayest eat grapes thy fill at thine own pleasure. But thou shalt not put any in thy vessel. You walk into your neighbor's field, he said, and you're hungry. You can eat grapes or grain, whatever the case may be. In Matthew chapter 12, the apostles were free to pluck the grain and to eat it. If they were hungry, they were free to do that and eat as much as they needed until that hunger was satisfied. But don't put any in your backpack. Don't put any in your basket, because then it becomes stealing. You're realizing gain from it. Stealing is prohibited. Stealing is against our fellow man. Stealing, the forsaking of stealing is one of the Ten Commandments. Turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15. This is the Lord speaking from Mount Sinai. And he says to the children of Israel, he says, thou shalt not steal. Plain. It's plain. I don't have to expound on that, do I? For the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 23, 24, plainly told them what stealing would have been then. I mean, they were free to, if they were hungry, as they were journeying from place to place through the field, they were permitted to pluck some and eat it to satisfy their hunger, but not to lay up in store, you see. Turn to the 21st chapter. It continues on. In verse 16 of the 21st chapter, it says, and he that stealeth a man and selleth him, or if he be found in his hand, he shall surely be put to death. He that stealeth a man and selleth him, I know that in every civilization, biblical civilization, there were servants, there were slaves. They were not to be bought as men, they were not to be taken as men, and then sold. There was provisions, they became a servant, they became a slave, because hard times had fell along through the providence of God. And they had a debt they couldn't pay, and so they sold that debt to one who was willing to buy it. They sold themselves into servitude, into slavery, until that debt was paid off. I know that in our country, slavery has been abolished. Slavery was wrong on so many fronts. You know how it got to this country? Slave traders. They went down into Africa, into Tripoli and those areas, and they went into those villages and they caught the men and the young women that were capable of work that they could get a good price for, and they captured them, brought them back on boats, and then they, whether it was here or England or Europe, and they sold them. Maybe. That's one front where it was wrong. It was prohibited by Scripture. Stealing is wrong, whether it's stealing goods or whether it's stealing men. Stealing women. And we could go further. I don't think we have to. When we're talking about stealing men, stealing women, we're taking something that's not ours to take. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. The writer of this proverb says this in verse 9. Well, actually, let's read verse 8 along with it. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. I wonder how many here today would pray that prayer. Well, Lord, don't give me poverty, but give me riches. I mean, I'd sure love to have $1 million. I'd sure love to have $10 million. Well, $1 million was when I was a kid. Graduated into multiple millions now, because $1 million don't go as far as it did when I was a kid. You see, Lord, but I sure would like to have a couple $1 million anyhow. Even loss for $1 million. I caught myself saying, well, I'd settle for $500,000. I have $1 million. Lord, if you'd just be pleased to give it to me.
He says, neither give me poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. You know what that word convenient means? My measured portion. Just what I need. Lord, just give me just what I need. Why was the proverb writer praying that?
Well, he answers it in the next verse.
Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You see, he didn't want to be so full, have so much, that he forgot the Lord. And he didn't want to have so little that he would stoop to stealing.
To have.
Because it was wrong. It wasn't God honoring.
Turn with me now to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 13. Now I'm going to show you the remedy to all of that. And you remember it. Now I need to remember it. Verse 8. Of the 13th chapter of Romans. Now mark these words. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Love, agape, will cause you and I to fulfill the law of God, to be what we ought to be to our brethren, to our fellow man. And being what we ought to be to our fellow man will be God-honoring. Keep that in mind. That's what he said. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He says that about love, about agape, the one another. And then he goes through the list of the Ten Commandments, the last six, or last five, because one, the the fifth commandment deals with mothers and fathers. But it, so then he goes through the last five, with dealing directly with our fellow man.
And it's got stealing in there, which is our subject that we've come to in Ephesians chapter 4. So it is prohibited? It's not becoming a Christian? I mean, it's prohibited even among the ungodly. And it's certainly not becoming a child of God, a church member. You see. So we've looked at the scriptures where it's prohibited. We are to do these things. Steal no more. That's our text. Let him that stole steal no more. We are to do these things no more. Turn with me to the book of Job. The book of Job. In chapter 34. And we want verse 32 here. That which I see not, teach thou me. If I have done iniquity, I will do no more. If I have done iniquity, if I've done anything against my fellow man, I will do it no more. If I've done anything against God, I will do it no more. And you understand, to do something against our fellow man is to do it against God. For he is every man's creator.
That's why we're governed by these laws.
And they're laws that it seems like there's a working in our country to tear them down and to do away with them. And furthermore, not only to tear them down off our courthouses and do away with them, but we want to defund, annihilate the ones who were given the charge of enforcing them.
That wasn't in my notes. That's free. And just toss it out there. He says, I will do no more.
That's the heart of a child of God. He doesn't want to do those things. He doesn't want to be a lawbreaker.
Turn with me to the book of Proverbs again. Book of Proverbs in chapter 28. Proverbs 28, verse 13.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth
them shall have mercy. My eyes didn't see that right, did it?
Whoso confesseth and forsaketh
them shall have mercy.
What's forsaketh mean?
Do no more. Just as we read in Job, I will do no more.
Well, our prayer ought to be, Lord, if I've sinned and not been aware of it, show it to me and I'll do it no more.
That ought to be our prayer. God help me. God help you. Turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. And I know it's a passage that we've looked at often, and we know it. But we'll go there again. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 9 we read, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." These won't inherit the kingdom of God. We were just talking about the kingdom this morning. These kind of people, they're not members of the kingdom. These ones that are habitually living lives like that. Neither thieves, nor covetous, thieves, that's our word, isn't it? Now this word thief here, it meant to embezzlement. But what is embezzlement? Isn't it stealing? Isn't it stealing that which does not belong to you? Whether it's on a corporate level or not, or whether it's on a personal level. We've stolen. He said, "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." These folks don't inherit the kingdom of God. These who habitually do these things don't inherit the kingdom of God. Why should they be named amongst Christians? Why should they be named among church members? Well, they shouldn't. They went on to say, "And such were some of you." In other words, "and such were some of you," but when you were saved, you stopped these things. Let him that stole steal no more. One more. And we'll close with this one today. We're going to have to divide this verse up. I thought we would. Proverbs 8. In verse 13. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." You see, we've shown you from the Word of God that these are evil. These are wicked things. Stealing is evil. It's wicked. Anger that is under sin is evil. It's wicked. Lying is evil. It's wicked. Prohibited by God because it is evil and is wicked. And so we read here, the writer of the Proverbs says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." Do you fear the Lord? Do you have a reverence for God? Do you have a love for God? Well, if you do, then you love those He's created. And a love for those that He's created, Romans 13, we won't be guilty of, what was it? Killing, and adultery, and stealing, and bearing false witness, lying, coveting. No, rather than coveting, what did we ought to do? Brother, I'm glad for you. I'm glad the Lord blessed you. That's the way we ought to be. Instead of covet, anything that is our neighbor's, And he goes, in Exodus chapter 20, he goes through a list of things. Anything that your neighbors, not to be coveting. Well, we'll stop there. We'll go on with this next week. Rather, let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good.